go. Were we missing some music up at the top there? I want us to keep track of how many mistakes we have here. Were you supposed to remember music? Because I didn't hear music at all. It was maybe that really groovy bebop. But it doesn't matter. Let's imagine that there was music. But now, Pendulette of Penn and Teller, the bigger, louder one. Yes. And Michael Goudeau of the Lance Burton Show Juggler, both writers on BS, which we can't say the name of the real show, but BS on Showtime, the skeptical show on television, are now from Las Vegas, Nevada, Vintage Nude Studio, in my home, talking to you on free FM. And we are, in the latter part of the show, going to take some calls. We really will this time, because today we're hoping there will be a latter part of the show. For any of you that listened yesterday, I was in the middle of this story. Not a fabulous story, but still a story that dealt with atheism. And right when we hit that point, God smote me. So it's a very, very important show, because this is the show where we may win the Nobel Prize. I know it's not Nobel time of year, but Travis is running our board here. Keep the hotline open, because I think Stockholm may call and just give us the Nobel Prize. Because we may have proved.
The Templeton Award is for the same thing.
Oh, is that the one about the...
We have reconciled God with science.
Reconciled God with science. And that's some nut, right?
It's a nut, yeah. It's a nut.
And every year there's a conference. And that's where, what's his name, the physicist, Weinstein?
Whiny guy?
Well, whiny guy, yeah. That's where he said that he didn't say that he didn't believe in a dialogue between religion and science. He said he didn't believe in a...
Constructive
dialogue between religion and science. But we may win that prize. Yesterday, we were talking, we started out talking about blasphemy. We started out talking about atheism. Proud atheists, both of us. And telling a story about atheism. And we got right to the point.
Right
to the point where I say no God in the story, and God smote us. And we had a guy write in, on penradio@gmail.com, which is if you want to send emails, and we're much better at getting emails than we are at getting phone calls. We will get phone calls, and that number on the phone call is 866-313-FREE, F-R-E-E, 866-313-FREE, that's 3733. Don't call right now, because we're not going to get to it for a moment, but later in the show, if you want to put us on speed calling, put us on your little list so you can hit it, it's 866-313-FREE. F-R-E-E, free, 3733. And one guy who wrote us an email at Penn, with two N's, P-E-N-N, radio, at gmail.com. One guy wrote to us, said that he hopes we'd talk about the technical problems, because Steve Dahl, who is one of the, in my mind, one of the real kings of radio, you know, one of the reasons I'm doing this show is that he's such an inspiration.
Sure.
Just a good guy, been on the radio, I think he's been on the radio longer than he's been alive.
Uh-huh.
You know, it just seems like Steve Dahl goes back
and
forever.
And talks about his technical problems.
He talks about technical problems all the time. He's very open. When you talk about free FM, that's Steve Dahl. He lets it all hang out, sometimes in ways we don't want to see. So we're going to tell you about the technical problems. Yesterday I was telling this story, a very sweet story,
about being
out at an electronic store with my daughter named Moxie, telling this story, and it's a sweet story, and then it takes a turn with intolerance and disrespect for atheism. Takes that turn, and right when it took that turn, man, we got a surge of power at the house here.
Yeah.
Now, we live in the middle of the stinking desert, you know, and living in Vegas is like living on the moon, you know. It's like you wouldn't want to live here as a kid, even though we both have kids. There's not trees, you know. There's not grass.
There's nothing to play on.
It's kind of like all of Vegas is like blue cheese and anchovies, you know. It's these kind of adult. It's beautiful. You know, you look at mountains, it's beautiful. Sand is beautiful.
So is the moon. The moon is
scorpions
beautiful.
Are beautiful.
Yes.
But this is like living on the moon. It's desolate and so on. So we're out here in the middle of the desert, and, you know, they have to run so much power. We're running like, in this room alone, we're running like seven monitors. We got mics. We've each got computers in front of us, although you can't tell.
18 air conditioners.
I like it cold. I like things cold, and so does the equipment. So everybody here is wearing winter jackets. I'm wearing shorts. We have all this stuff going, and right when I said, I think I actually said the words no God. And right then, and we could hear it in the room. The headphones were like barking a big pop. All the TV monitors went off in the room, and we went down completely. There was no connection to New York. Nothing. And everybody was scrambling around. And it seems like we had the computer, the Pro Tools, the mix board, is on some UPS.
Sure.
Yeah. It's on the back of a man who delivers packages.
Well, yeah. He holds what can Brown do for you? Keep your computer running.
It's an uninterrupted power supply.
Oh, okay.
We had that plugged, which is just a battery. It's just a battery.
Fancy name.
But then we thought that maybe the Telos, which is the thing that puts it on ISDN, that should be on a backup, too. But last night, and you can nod on this, Travis, because I can see you. Last night you found out the Telos was in a UPS, right? So there is really no technical reason. There's no scientific reason for what happened yesterday. I said no God, and God smote us. He took us down. So I'm really, this could be a great thing. I'm going to tell the story again, and if I get to the same spot, in the story.
Okay, we're doing a test. We're doing a scientific
and
test.
And we get smoted. We get smart. If we get smart. If we get smart at the same point. If God. Now, God is, by most theologies, there's so much sloppage on God. You know, God can be so many things. But God is omniscient, right?
Yeah, sure.
Knows everything. Omnipotent.
All powerful. Sure.
What else is he? He's omni something.
Stronger than Superman.
He's everywhere. Stronger than Superman. And I think he can also be invisible, like the Invisible Girl.
Yeah, and
I think
everywhere.
He has all the powers of the Fantastic Four and Superman and the wisdom of Batman. Okay, which has that same kind of vengeance. You know, Batman has a vengeance. And if you read the Old Testament, and I have twice.
God clearly has a vengeance, yes.
Whoa, is there a vengeance. And also kind of this, you'll have no other gods before me stuff. You know,
A little envious.
Everybody says.
A little uptight about the other relationship with the other gods.
Very uptight.
Did not like Zeus.
Did not like Allah.
Did not like Allah.
Even though Allah's, you know, it's the same essential religion.
Same thing.
They still, you know, and then Allah does not like Jehovah. Jehovah.
Annoying, though. You know, it's a door. All of his witnesses. That's the other guys.
I've got a way, as a matter of fact, to deal with Jehovah's Witnesses.
We'll get to that later. Let's finish this story.
We're
doing our test.
We want to do a true
You can't
test.
Ramble. Do the test.
Okay. But I want you to know that if we do this test and I tell this story and we get smote, because God seems to have his priorities straight, you know? Because what God should do for proving is not wipe out New Orleans. Because there were good people in New Orleans, you know?
They were believers.
We all know that. There were believers. They were praying. I mean, I think David Spade made a joke on TV that he probably got in some hot water for in Comedy Central. I don't know if it was aired, but I heard from a friend that was there at the table.
Oh, good. Well, good for you to blab it. Thanks. David Spade's going to call us.
Oh, yeah. I think it's David. I don't want to do a joke that's not mine.
You don't credit it.
I want to credit it, especially if you can get in trouble. If there could be...
David Spade said this really stupid thing.
As a matter of fact, almost everything I'm saying right now that could bother the FCC or bother CBS, you know, Joel, Rob, all you guys, if you're listening, everything I've been saying all since we started yesterday... Mm-hmm. has been a quote of David Spade.
Reading off a page.
Exactly. I'm reading word for word David Spade. So the FCC should listen. I think David Spade's of the reason that New Orleans was so devastated in the hurricane was that they didn't pray enough. So, but this is the way. God should not smote New Orleans. God should not smote miners that are prayed for a lot. God should smote a couple of real hardcore atheists who are doing a radio show. And the way a merciful God would smite, the way he would do that is he would just give a good solid spike right at the right time.
Okay.
Now, James Randi at randi.org, you know, the James Randi Education Foundation, one of my biggest heroes in the world, the amazing Randi, has $1 million prize.
Mm-hmm.
It's in escrow. It's part of my money. I put some money into that prize. And the prize is, and this is for all psychics, all astrology, all everything.
Mm-hmm.
If you can prove a supernatural event, you get the coin. He'd get the check.
Sure.
Okay. And I want to just tell Randy that one of the things you have to do is say what you're going to do and then do it.
So we're going for the $1 million today?
We're going for the $1 million and the Templeton and the Nobel.
It's a big day in radio history.
It's a very big day because if we pull this off, you know, then for like the rest of history, people listening to Free FM and they'll listen to Penn and Godot and they'll go, you know.
This will be good for our careers.
They're not that funny. But they prove the existence of God. What the hey? Let's give them a listen, huh? You know, I mean, that's a big deal.
That's a big deal.
I mean, I would think, I don't even know what Nobel you win. I think you win certainly peace, right?
Proving yeah, sure, God. Sure, sure.
Certainly physics, because God violates physics, right?
Sure. Uh-huh.
I would think medicine, because you know how to, you know, how to direct your praying
sure.
and so on.
That would help a lot.
Chemistry, would you think?
No. Chemistry's a little stretch.
Let someone else have chemistry. Let like an Eastern European guy
sure.
have chemistry. Fine. And then I don't know about the field medal. Probably not the field medal. There's not mathematics. Although, you know, there's the mathematics of there is one God and there's you know, the Holy Trinity. Do we? No, there's no
math. It's not a math.
We're going to settle then. We're going to fall back.
Now, we'll just take those five.
I've won Emmys, Tonys, Obies, mean nothing. Right, nothing. We win every year. We win the writer. We have won a couple of writers' awards for BS. The show we can't.
Not quite.
Also, imagine how it's going to be when we start up BS and the first show of BS. We already have written about the Boy Scouts.
Mm-hmm.
We can talk about that if you want. We are now Boy Scouts experts. We've written a BS about the Boy Scouts. We've written one about cryptozoology, which is Bigfoot and Loch Ness Monster and stink apes. Stuff like that. Stink apes are also
apes.
The same as Sasquatch and the Bigfoot, but I like to say stink ape because I think the FCC still allows stink ape. That's not blasphemous, right? That's not like you if you say God is a stink ape, I think then you're in
that
way big trouble. Way big trouble.
Hmm.
But the first episode of BS on Showtime would be Penn and Teller's BS. There is a God. We got proof. And we're running cameras on all this. Is that right? There's the video cameras are being run in here. Travis, you're sure? Give me a thumbs up. Everything's plugged into uninterrupted power supplies. It can't go down.
It can't go down.
The spike of electricity like yesterday would not bring it down. I'll still be on the air. So I'm going to tell the story that I started yesterday. And I'm going to finish it. Some people have written in to email. PennRadio@gmail.com.
Saying, please finish the damn story.
Please finish the damn story. We want to see if God will smote us. That's what they want to see. All the people are waiting. And, you know, God could also...
To find out if it is truly a damn story.
Just to let you know, if you've been calling all your friends, like if you've been going, whoa, they're going to prove the existence of God, this is going to be great, you know, if there's been a phone chain going around, if it's going virally on the internet right now, if that's going to happen, and a lot of people are tuning in, God may decide to kill us instead. He may decide that just the smote of yesterday taken off the radio was supposed to be a sign that the stupid atheists could interpret. So maybe our hearts will be turned in our chests into walnuts. As a matter of fact, God, if you're listening, does God give
me
FM? I know we're in eight major cities. Are we in heaven? I don't know. God's everywhere. I would like him to turn my heart into a walnut. So when they run the autopsy, they
then
go,
you won't know.
I won't know, no. But, I mean, other people will know. I'm willing to sacrifice myself.
How about we turn your hand into a walnut and then your heart so that you go, I was wrong, plop over.
What do you want your heart turned into?
Cheese. Blue cheese.
Blue cheese?
Love blue cheese.
Blue cheese. How about your hand first?
Okay. Blue cheese hand,
so
blue cheese heart.
Which was a bit nice. We have a little endive.
Yes.
We got a nice
walnuts,
little blue.
We have
okay, then God, make it unshelled. Because it's...
Sure.
You don't want to...
Sugared.
Not a sugared walnut.
That's really good with blue cheese.
I don't like the sugared walnut. I like the plain walnuts with the blue cheese. But I think we're digressing again. Well, that's because I want you people at home to know that if there is a God...
You're going to run out of time.
Okay. God is also infinite.
Yeah, well,
the radio show is not.
Okay. It's an hour.
So I'm in this big electronic store, which I'm now going to say was Fry's. Because maybe it was because Fry's didn't like me not mentioning their store that they smote us. And the people of Chicago, the good people of Chicago, I love people of Chicago, were also saying that maybe it was the right-wing conspiracy. Also, my deeply paranoid ding-dong man friend in Massachusetts said that it was a conspiracy and someone took us out. But let's just say say, we don't think it was that. We think it was God. Here we go. I'm in Fry's with my daughter. My daughter had just got, you know, greatest name, Moxie Crime Fighter Joe. It's like sure. Mayberry. We're walking around.
She won the award.
Yeah. Walking around having a great time. Hi, everybody.
People are happy to see you. People are talking to Moxie.
We're walking out. We've bought our, ironically, uninterrupted power supply, our tripod, and our tapes, all of which Moxie, who is very, very cute, 7 months old, she tasted them all. Mm-hmm. Bought them, pushing out the cart, and I'm wearing a sweatshirt that says, it's a hoodie that my wife gave me, it says, no God. No mm-hmm. on one side of the zipper, God on the other. And I'm wearing it open, so it really says kind of like a odd, not. That's what it says. But you can extrapolate from there. I guess you're interpolating. Not important. Let's get to the story. As I walk out, I walk by this gentleman who I said was very well-dressed, and this is where the word was that God hit us last night. Mid-30s to maybe 40.
Mid-30s.
Still on the air?
Still on.
Good. Mid-30s, maybe 40. Very well-dressed. And well-dressed athletic men terrify me.
Yes.
Well-dressed athletic men could very easily be FBI or something. You don't know mm-hmm. what you're dealing with. Good-looking guys with guns, that's awful. You know, that's terrible, terrible time. So I'm walking by, and as I walk by him, he says, kind of sotto voce, but not, like he wants me to hear him. And I'm also deaf as a post. My left ear is deaf. You know, lots of rock and roll and stuff. So I walk by him, pushing my daughter in the little cart, and I walk by him, and he goes, it's a dangerous shirt to wear. And I'm supposed to keep walking. You know, anybody from a city keeps walking. But instead, I have said now, no God, we have not been smoked. So it may be, we should have said the other part of this, that if we're not smote, there's no God. We've proven that, too, and I think that Stockholm should be on the line
still
for that as well.
Qualify for Templeton?
I think, right?
We reconciled them. We'll
sure.
kick one out.
We'll kick one out, sure. He says, and then I turn to him, and this is what I don't know about being a man. I turn to him and say, what? Right?
Sure.
And he goes, you heard me. Now, all of a sudden, we're already in a conflict. Because I've, like, questioned his diction or something, okay? And I go... And I say, it's like really high voice, I say, were you threatening me? Were you threatening me? And I'm not saying like, no, were you threatening me? I'm like, were you threatening me? And he goes, you heard me. I go, yeah, but I don't know. I mean, is this like a threat to my person? He says, you know what I'm saying? And I go, I don't know what you're saying. He goes, I know who signs your checks, which is astonishing, because I don't know who signs my checks. You know, I work for the Rio in
Las
Vegas.
It's direct deposit. You probably don't even see the checks.
I don't ever see the checks. I don't know. He goes, I know, and I go, shit, what are you talking about? He goes, stop with the high voice and that bitch stuff. That bitch stuff may go over in New York. So now he's impugning all of New York City. All of a sudden, I'm a spokesman for New York, and I'm too much of a wimp to stand up to a Vegas well-dressed guy. He goes, I know who signed your check. So I turn to a guy that works there at Fry's, great organization, and I say, well, you know, can I, maybe you should call the police. And he goes, 6 foot guy, 6 foot five guy, I'm 6'6", but he says 6 foot five guy calling the police. That the way you want to handle this? There's two ways to handle this. One is like a man, and one is you're going to call the police. And I go, what are you doing? Did you threaten me? And he goes, you're wearing a shirt like that. You should know it's dangerous. I've lived in this town for 17 years. And I go, what? What is that? What? I know the police. If you call them, you're in more trouble. What? How do you know the police? It's an abstraction. I know the mayor, he then says. Then brings Oscar Goodman into this, you know? Maybe they're drinking buddies. What do I know? And I can't, I know, I wouldn't raise my voice anyway, because that's not the right thing to do, but I have my daughter. And if I raise my voice around my daughter, like if I'm loud on TV mm-hmm. or listening to the show right now, she like gets uncomfortable. She's 7 months old, so I'm being really gentle with this guy. And I say, so are you threatening me? Call it. He goes, oh, yeah, we'll settle this like men. And I go, no, no. So he's saying, man, I'm going, no, no.
Men
and then
hire lawyers.
A woman who is the security person at Fry's comes over and talks to him. So now I'm being protected by a woman, and I just split, and I turn around and go, I think he may have threatened me, which is gentle as you can be.
Right.
So kind of watch him till I get to the parking lot, and I go out and I get in my car, and I drive away, and I felt awful, because I felt like, you know, maybe that's not what a man does. Was I supposed to fight him? Also, I said early on in there, well, I can wear this no God shirt like you could wear a cross around your neck. And then he says, what makes you think I'm Christian? And he says it really angry. Like, oh, and I go, well, aren't we allowed to do it? And I don't see that difference.
What makes you think I'm Christian?
So that's the story. God did not smote us during that story. We finished the whole thing. Penn Jillette in Las Vegas with Michael Goodell. We'll be back. We'll take some phone calls.
And
God hath not smote my ass.
Woohoo!
Sure, what was funny when this guy says he met you. This is from Leo. He says he met you at Fletcher's Bar in Baltimore and shook hands with you.
Uh-huh.
And he wants to know if it's just him or do all atheists have soft girly hands?
I have big. I want to say in my defense, I have big hands. I have fairly big hands, but they are soft and girly because I don't work. I've never done anything in my life. But I am an upright bass player. So if he had gotten to experience my index and middle finger, one of whom I'd like him to experience right now, he would have seen very big. Like, what do you say? It's a 16th
that
inch.
Seems like a callus
on the end of each one.
Sure.
And also my pinky on my right hand, my left hand.
Medical expert that
the one,
the pinky.
the one that would have been turned into a walnut if there had been a gun.
Sure.
So I do have soft, girly hands. And in proof of that, after the show crashed and burned miserably yesterday,
mm-hmm. Sure.
Not because of God, but because of something else. Not because of enemy action, but because of something else. I was distraught. Because in 30 years
you
of show business, this is the first time that I have had a show that didn't go on. Well, the show did go on, but it didn't finish. It did finish, I guess, with commercials, but it wasn't what we wanted it to be. And I was pretty upset. But my way of getting upset, I think, is also girly. You know, I think, like, at the Fry's, what I was supposed to, Fry's, which is great. They didn't give me anything free.
Nice place.
This is not plugola,
no.
Nothing. But I just thought that since their security handled this so well, it could have escalated if they didn't. But I guess I was supposed to say, step outside, and then say to somebody, a stranger, yeah, hold my daughter.
Hold my 7-month-old daughter while I pound this well-dressed, much more physical guy than me.
Since I've never hit anybody in my life, it would be, please hold my daughter and face her away so she doesn't see me being beaten. But I use, you know, I use the Garth Brooks theory of atheism.
Uh-huh.
You know, we did a show at the Hollywood Bowl,
right,
with Garth Brooks. It was about Garth Brooks and John Williams, and mm-hmm. for some reason,
there's some booking error. You,
Christina Aguilera, and us. That was the bill. And the big orchestra there. And I listened to Garth Brooks talk, and he sang a little bit, and then he talked about his mother dying, which was very important to me because my mom had died that same year. And he talked about his grief, and he talked about his Christianity and how it helped get him through. And as I listened to Garth, I said, you know, Garth is not a religious entertainer, you know, but when it's important to speak about his faith, he is.
Mm-hmm.
And so from that moment, I decided I would be exactly the same level with my atheism as he was with his Christianity, mm-hmm. and that was the American thing to do.
Sure.
So I see people wearing crosses around their neck all the time,
right,
and I think that that's cool. To let them know, it keeps vampires away, for one. And two, it's good to have at least one system of execution around your neck at all times.
You can use it to pick a lock,
to
perhaps.
Sure. But I can also wear my shirt that says no God.
Yes,
and I don't
you have
think
permission.
There's this feeling that atheists are supposed to shut up. Like, if you're so secure about not being religious. Well, but the same thing, I was on Politically Incorrect back when it was mm-hmm. on. I guess it was 1948,
sure.
Right after Talk of the Town. And I was on that show, and I was out on tape.
Sure.
Talking about atheism, it had come up. I think mm-hmm. George Carlin was also a guest, so it'd come up. And Bill Maher claims to be an atheist, although I doubt it, but he was also talking. And this woman, who I won't say her name because it's probably not worth it, but
it was on TV. You can say her
no,
name.
No, it's not, because she was in the room.
Oh,
she was
sorry.
She was in the backstage.
Was the show.
She was going to be on the next show.
Okay.
And she's somebody that I'm not fond of, that used to be a kind of a comedian and is now not doing that well, but that's okay. And she was sitting with my friend, whose name I will say,
yes.
You know, Nell Scovell,
sure.
who, as far as I can tell, I don't watch much TV. I think she writes every successful TV show that's on TV.
Sure.
She's brilliant. She used to be, you know, she writes for the New York Times and Spy, and she wrote for Letterman. She does everything.
Vogue.
Was that a command? Was I supposed to do the Madonna dance?
Please pose while you talk about
okay,
Nell.
Okay, I'll Vogue while I talk about Nell. Nell was back there, and while I was talking about this, this woman turned to Nell and said, with no sense of irony at all, I don't know why atheists can't just shut up about what they believe. You know, I'm a born-again Christian. Okay, right in the same sentence. I'm a born-again Christian. And Nell happened to point out to her, she didn't go with the irony of the sentence. Nell went with pointing out that I had done a Phresis blood doning all day and sent to her, which is great. Yes, and how many babies did you save today? Because I have a kind of blood type that has no viruses in it, and so I've never had a drug in my life. So I'm like a blood donor dream. And I'd done this a Phresis where they tie you down and do like 4 hours. So that was her way of going after this. But I believe the Garth Brooks theory that I should be able to wear a no-God shirt the same way someone can wear a cross around their neck, and I should be able to talk about how my atheism brought me through my mom and dad's death, and I should be able to talk about that, and that's part of the marketplace of ideas. And I said this to Garth Brooks backstage, and Garth Brooks, I don't know if he speaks for America, but for a while he did. And I don't know anything about Garth Brooks, really, except that that Garth Brooks had that album that had the American flag projected on his face, which I think was his most successful album. Much more successful than the albums where he has like a swastika projected on his face.
He had any
or the
albums flag, else
the flag
on his
of
face.
Senegal.
You can just stop there.
Or when he had like, you know, a peace sign. It was just that one thing.
Just the one flag, yeah.
Okay. But was it painted on his face or projected?
Are you asking me?
Anyway, we have a phone number here. 866-313-FREE.
We have a call.
866-313-FREE. Do we have a call?
I thought we did. Steve in New York.
Okay, sure. Huh? Yeah, Steve, let's get you on the phone. You got like 3 minutes and we're going to go to commercials. But talk to us, Steve. You there?
No chance. No chance at all of that, really.
Well, let's just try. If you want to bring Steve on in New York, the guy who's got the board up there, if you want to bring Steve on, go ahead. And Steve, if you're on, just yell something at us like, well, where are you from? You're from New York City.
So he's going to yell.
So just go like, I would say maybe yo or you know, hey, pencil neck or something like that.
There he is.
There you go. Hello, Steve. How are you? That was just a little brief hint. Now, was that him clearing his throat or was that you?
Throat.
Okay. Okay, well, when you feel like, we'll take calls as soon as New York feels like they can get us on. But that's not a smote. That's not a smote.
I don't think that's a smote.
A caller not coming through is not a smote at all. So that's the story of that. So after the show,
we have another email to read if you'd like.
Read an email.
Sure. This is from a fellow named Eric Mead, who I believe you know.
Oh yes, I do know Eric Mead is one of the stars of The Aristocrats, and he is also one of my favorite close-up magicians. Sure. One of my top three favorites.
He writes that he's in the camp that is overjoyed to have his POV represented in a public forum. We've all heard a lot recently about the idea of religious tolerance. We never hear pleas for tolerance in the other direction. This is so sorry what we're talking about. Tolerance from faith towards scientific secularism is what he'd like to see more of.
Yeah, well, and that's exactly what I was talking about, is why can't I say the same percentage of my life can be spent talking about atheism that Garth Brooks spent. Of course, Garth Brooks, is he even got a career anymore? Is this like talking about...
He's in a Christmas commercial.
Okay, so it's not like I'm talking about Gabby Hayes or something. It's like, I mean, this is actually a contemporary person, kind of. Let's take a quick call from Dave. Hey, Dave. Oh, that was so like it was supposed. That was going to be nice.
I could have pretended to be Dave. Let's try that again.
Okay, what you got to do is you got to learn to do all those voices like the morning radio guys do. No. So this is, we got Dave on the line. You there, Dave?
I am Dave.
good voice.
I thought Dave might show up for a second.
No, that was just fake. That was for you. This is, you got to get used to working with a magician.
Dave. I'd like to talk about freedom of speech.
You would. What do you got to say about freedom of speech there, Dave?
I think it needs to be free and speaky.
Okay. So that's Dave. Thanks, Dave. Thank you. Thank you so much. So after the show didn't go yesterday, I was thinking still about this Fry's incident, which I'm joking about, and I shouldn't call the Fry's incident because they're a good store. And it's not like they have Religious Intolerance Day. You know, it's not like that's a special sale day. I believe something like that has probably never happened to Fry's before, and much more my fault than theirs. But they're a big electronics store. And I was still bummed about that. We came here and got what looked like being smote by God, and I was really bummed out. So I did what a man would do, you know. I did not take a baseball bat.
You did what a man would do. You got an attorney.
No. We're done with the Fry's story.
Oh.
After the show didn't go.
Oh, yesterday. I'm sorry. I'm reading email.
What I did.
Very professional.
What I did after I was so upset about the show not going on, which I don't know why there's that cliche, the show must go on. If there's one thing that doesn't need to go on, it's
the
show.
Sure.
If the Penn and Teller show at the Rio in Vegas does not go on, if your show, the Lance Burton show, does not go on, what harm does it do? People go out to dinner with people that they love and have a great time. Why not? What's so bad about that? The cliche should be doctors must always work.
Sure.
Plumbers must always work.
The lights must go on.
The lights must go on. The show must go on is stupid. So I did after that yesterday. I did what a man would do.
Mm-hmm.
And my manager wanted to talk to me on the phone, but I wouldn't talk to him. New York wanted to talk to me. I got one kind email from CBS who stood behind
me. So you did some kind of pissy fit thing?
No, I didn't. What I did was I cooked up a lot of brownie batter.
Okay.
I mean, I didn't cook up. Mixed up brownie batter. Didn't cook it. Ate it raw. Then took a hot bubble bath and a very depressed nap. So for the guy... For the guy who wanted to know if all atheists have girly hands, there's the answer. We're going to take another break, be back, maybe get some phone calls if God isn't smote in New York City. 866-313-3733. Penn Jillette, Michael Goudeau. We'll be back in Las Vegas.
If you ride out in a nice car,
where you get the car?
What did you bet? You hear all those kinds of things.
And I'll play a bass. You don't play a bass like that
with the right people who have the right relationships.
It looks like, this is tough. CBS is just getting this whole thing together. They're having a little trouble.
I am so understanding, but the trouble is directly
there. Yesterday, I was just wallowing in brownie batter.
Self-pity, sure.
Self-pity, crying. I was crying. You know, girly hands, cry, back down at Fry's. That's the kind of guy you're talking about. Now, see how much you think I speak for all atheists. Now that they're having trouble on their end and I'm not really seeing it, I don't care.
You're very gregarious.
I don't care.
Forgiving.
At all.
Please, don't worry about it, guys. It's okay.
It's fine, man.
We forgive you.
Hey.
The phone doesn't work. It's not a problem.
Stuff happens.
We have another show tomorrow.
Stuff happens, baby. We'll get them on the phone tomorrow. That's all that matters, you know? But we are getting emails like a crazy monkey is
typing. We have one from John Mack who says he's not buying any of your BS.
That's not what he says. Don't quote him incorrectly. You're shortening that.
That's not an exact quote. I did shorten that.
Right. Okay.
You set up that whole thing yesterday, the old radio cliffhanger. If what you're saying is true, how did you manage to get back on the air at exactly 2:59 for your 30-second tune-in tomorrow plug? Huh?
Oh,
huh?
Man.
I think he's got a good point. I think you were faking it.
Oh, if that were only true. Oh, man. Maybe that's the story we'll go with. That's such a beautiful story. You know, and I get that's the great thing. I mean, there aren't many great things about being a magician. I mean, like, you do not get laid. I'm now married, but I mean, magic will not make you more popular. You don't have any upside to being a magician, except that when things screw up, you can take credit for it. You know, you can do that kind of psychic thing. I think it's, Uri Geller, who may or may not have real powers. The guy with the spoon bender. You want to be careful of him. He's very litigious. Very litigious.
Seems litigious.
Israeli psychic. But whenever something happens, you know, like a cup of coffee falls, or things like that, they're always happening around me. That was my Israeli English accent, which sounded so much like Gandhi. Any other emails?
You're
you want
a
to read?
Mess. Here's some guy says the school system must go on. As long as we're talking about what must go on, he thinks the school system.
Sure,
must go on.
Sure. I'm not
so much.
No, I think that I think the school. Oh boy, you want to see? This is what you want to do. This when the phones are not on. I think the school system is overrated. I don't know if Moxie, my daughter, loves school. My wife, Emily, called Easy, because those are her initials, among other reasons. She loved school.
Mm-hmm.
And she just really dug it. And I hated, I think, every second. Maybe not every second. Maybe there was some, in high school when the proper girl leaned over to pick something up off the floor during the age of miniskirts, that second I didn't hate school, but most of it. So Moxie can go either way with
that's
her.
Right.
She can go either hating school.
She has the genes from the hate and love school. So maybe
so she
she's
can go either way. Whichever way she wants, she'll get support. You know, if she wants to drop out in fifth grade, she's got dad on her side. And if she wants to, be a PhD, she's got mom on her side, and she's so sweet. I mean, as a baby, she's sweet. I mean, I don't know.
7 months, she's not doing a lot of complaining, huh?
Up till now,
not that much of a rebel.
Not that much of a rebel yet. Lots of cute. There was an article yesterday in the New York Times.
All the cute, yeah.
That said, what do you need to be cute? Because Moxie has them all. And it's kind of about this panda that they got now, right? This panda.
Yeah, yeah.
And the people just go, oh, and they fall all over. And this is what the whole problem with endangered species is, you know? If you want to be on the endangered species list, you better be cute. You better not be a spider, you know? The scorpions on the endangered species list, people don't rally behind them. Not a lot of cute. And we'll find, Godot's got the list. He's digging it up now. Why scorpions? We can see this is why scorpions aren't cute. Why Moxie is cute.
The scorpions did not make any of these things on the list. This is from scientists have identified the qualities that make something universally cute. So here they are, the teeter-totter walk.
Teeter-totter walk, I've got that.
You have that. You're awfully cute. Slow moving.
I got that too. Moxie has both of these.
Floppy limbs.
Floppy limbs, I knew. He's a clown on the Red Show. Wasn't he?
I worked with him, yeah.
Yeah, you were.
79, yeah. Round body.
Round body. I have that too.
Yeah. Loose or wrinkly skin.
I don't have a lot of loose.
Flat nose.
Getting more of it. I have a little nose. I have a little
flat
nose.
Yeah.
I have another one.
Body fuzz.
Well,
that's
know.
The last one on the list.
That's the last one on the list? Isn't there stuff about eyes? I thought there was stuff about eyes. Like that would be in the front of your head.
Not on the list in front of me. Oh, yeah. So, yeah, halfway down your head in the front of your face.
Yeah.
Large eyes.
Halfway?
Yeah, halfway.
I feel like my eyes are higher than that.
Yeah, well.
So read the list again quickly so we all know what cute is.
All right, well, I don't have the eye thing because somehow that got left off my list.
Okay. But the eyes are important because, you know, Mickey Mouse. Stop for a second. Mickey Mouse, they moved his eyes. If you see the first Steamboat Willie?
It was plastic surgery.
it was on extreme cartoon surgery.
Extreme cartoon makeup.
But it used to be on the side because prey have their eyes on the side.
Sure.
Predators have their eyes in the front. So predators are cuter than prey.
Sure.
Sure.
Teeter-totter walk, slow-moving, floppy limbs, round body, loose or wrinkly skin, flat nose, and body fuzz.
So there is nothing cuter than Bruce Valanche falling down an escalator.
Yeah, that's right.
Put a roller skate at the top of the escalator when Bruce Valanche is coming down. And you can sell, I mean, the tickets to
you
that
hit
panda.
All of those things.
The tickets to that panda were going on eBay for like $200. We could just, I know Bruce, you know, we did the Hollywood Squares with him.
Yep.
And speaking of Hollywood Squares, Lance Burton, your boss.
My boss.
Your real boss.
The other boss.
You watched him. I just loved you. You were talking about this before.
Yeah, he was on the Rose Bowl parade. I don't know if you didn't see that, did you?
No, I didn't. And, I'm not a big Rose Bowl parade watcher.
I'm sorry. Even though I have soft hands. It rained for the first time in 55 years.
Because Lance Burton.
Because Lance was on, yeah, sure. Exactly. Another proof of God. So we win $1 million? I think we won. Well, yeah, Lance was on. And, you know, I didn't watch it on a major network. I have to apologize to Lance for this because I watched it on the Travel Channel. And on the Travel Channel, they don't get that spot where you're supposed to perform. They don't set up the camera where you pull up and do your little trick and pull on. And so I'm watching the Travel Channel.
But not everyone does a little trick. What do you mean? There's like magician on the Rose Bowl.
Yeah,
parade.
No, but people pull up and do a little dance or a song, okay. You know, that kind of thing. They pull up to a spot, they do the little thing for the TV, they go on. Well, the Travel Channel doesn't quite rate that spot. And so they're taping 100 yards before. And so what I see, you know, here comes Lance Burton. Isn't he great? And, you know, Lance is leaning off to one side talking to some guy on a motorcycle. You know, and they go, hey, there's Lance Burton. Isn't he great? And then they cut away for a second. They come back.
Lance was asking directions.
Yeah,
his float was
my
off.
Float is
excuse me. You know how to get to the Rose Bowl? Okay, that's what he's doing to the guy on the motorcycle. Okay. And then what did you see after that?
And then they cut to the announcers for a second. They laugh. Ha-ha. Prestidigitator Lance Burton. Ha-ha. They cut back to him, and we see Lance setting up the cards for the trick. They say, hey, Lance is going to do a trick for us. And then they cut away, and they never get to the trick. And we just see the setup.
Well... That's Lance Burton behind the scenes.
Exactly.
So he's really doing the Rose Bowl float that Penn and Teller would have.
Exactly.
We'd be there just setting up a song, showing how it's done. But Lance is so pure show business. I mean, Lance is what Vegas should be. You know, he comes over my house to, like, watch a movie, and we're all like, I mean, I'm in my boxer shorts.
Sure.
And he's wearing a suit.
He's got a jacket on and
a suit on.
Tie
and he
a lot
also
of times.
Has a tie almost all the time.
Yeah.
And he has sponge bunnies in his pocket. So if you say to Lance, you know, so you're a magician, well, I got a little trick right here. He can do it. If you see me,
he's
like
friends with Wayne Newton.
He's friends?
Friends with Wayne Newton.
He hangs out with him?
He hangs out with Wayne Newton.
What do they talk about, hair care products? Flobby. Well, you know, you've just given that up. You know, you may be fired. This may be your only job. Lance Burton.
His hair looks great.
For those of you who don't know, he does a fine magic show in Las Vegas. And
very personable.
Michael
Goudeau
is the variety act. And I've known Lance forever, mm-hmm. and I just love him. One of the kindest people in the world. But pure Vegas. I mean, if we called Lance Burton right now, we'd wake him up.
Yes, exactly.
He's sleeping until, you know, 3 in the afternoon every day, mm-hmm. wearing a suit when he goes out, cuts his hair with a Flobby. His hair is dyed like black, which mine is too, but, you know, his is dyed like black, like it means black.
Mm-hmm.
And just a great guy. I don't know what he would have done there for. I know what he would have done there for ice. He would never, ever wear any clothing that could be considered controversial.
He would wear a shirt with no name on it. You know what I mean? If you wrote his name in the collar, he'd cut it out.
Yeah. You don't want to do any of that. You don't want to engage. You don't want to have trouble. And one more thing I want to get to, mm-hmm. Besides Lance Burton being great in him. And he, you know, when I did the Hollywood Squares, I was like a little embarrassed. Like, is this really what I want to do?
Yeah, is this showbiz?
I didn't plan on being. But Lance loved it, right? He just admitted it. He just
loves Hollywood Squares.
That's what I want to be. That's real showbiz.
Lance is edge trying to get into showbiz stuff. Lance is in the middle of showbiz.
Yeah, not that kind of denial stuff. Not like filling up a whole hall and then walking out in jeans like you really didn't know you had a show that night.
Yeah.
He always knows he has a show that
That's
night.
Right. That's He's not partially shaven.
We wear suits in our show, but you know, I sometimes don't shave before the show, and I walk like a farmer. That's what broke my dad's heart so much, you know.
Mm-hmm.
He saw us on, like, the Emmys, and there was, like, a timpani roll and a big... And he said to me later, you know, there's a big introduction, a big voice, it's your name, you're being a... You know, you're a big deal. Then you walk out like a farmer. And my dad said it almost with tears in his eyes. Lance doesn't walk like a farmer.
Not anymore. I believe he hired a walk expert. He's serious about showbiz. He hired a walk expert.
And speaking about showbiz, I want to get to Candy Barr because her obituary was everywhere.
Was.
One of the great blue movie stripper stars.
70 years old,
died of pneumonia, and had an amazing life. What's the stuff in her obituary? She, first of all, she did, you know, she
it's
did...
It's pages and pages. I have to scroll to the top.
She did pornography when pornography mattered. She did pornography when you could go to jail for it, which is my cutoff for when it was really cool to do pornography. Because now you just have webcams in everyone's bedroom. So, you know, we're all, in a certain sense, pornographers. But the pioneers, you know, like Al Goldstein and Larry Flint and those guys, and Candy Barr.
Candy Barr, the poor.
And she also dated, didn't she take...
She was friends with Jack Ruby.
Friends with Jack Ruby or dated Jack Ruby?
Friends with Jack Ruby is what this says, but, you know, maybe they were being discreet.
Who knows?
And, you know,
why would you
mob
be...
guys, she earned $2,000 a week.
When?
In the late 1950s.
Whoa!
That's $1 zillion a day now, isn't it?
And she went to prison for pot, right?
Yeah, for less than an ounce. 3/4 of an ounce of pot. But you know what her mistake was?
What was her mistake?
She hid it in her bra. Now,
the first place!
If you're a police officer and you're searching a stripper...
Where's the first place you're going to look?
Her pocket. They never checked her pockets.
Her purse. Her purse was just laying out there. You know, the glove compartment of her car, they were checking her bra first thing.
Well,
and she was friends with Jack Ruby right around the time that Wacky Jack took out Lee Harvey Oswald.
She was.
So, they say pneumonia?
They say pneumonia, yeah.
She
starred in one of the most famous stag movies.
She could have been silenced.
She
might have been silenced. The people that whacked JFK, they get rid of all the witnesses. Maybe she was the last one who knew that Jack
blabbed.
Maybe Jack blabbed to her, and they had a silencer. So the pneumonia thing.
Candy Barr was silenced.
I don't know if Candy Barr really, really died of natural causes.
Maybe someone in Abilene can call us. Maybe the doctor from Abilene will call in and confirm this.
We want another autopsy on Candy Barr. Well, you know, what else? She starred in one of the most famous stag movies?
Yeah, one of the most famous stag movies.
What was the name of that?
Time.
Have you seen it?
I have not seen it. I apologize. Smart Aleck in 1951.
Oh, come on. We must have seen that.
Smart
it's
Aleck.
Probably on the web. Should we be watching that? Everybody, in honor of Candy Barr, who died, we should all watch Smart Aleck.
Sure.
I'm sure a web search. We haven't got a URL, but someone will send it in by tomorrow, and we'll have a web search.
Sentenced to 15 years in prison.
But then she was pardoned, right?
She was pardoned.
She
talked about the mob guy she was dating. So once again, silenced. Candy Barr was silenced.
That's the way. That's the way to get a pardon. The show technically went much better. We'll get to try to get the phone calls in tomorrow. If you want to write an email, that's penradio, PENNRADIO, at gmail.com. We'd love to read your emails. We'd love to talk with you on the phone. The show will include phone calls as soon as you get that all together, but it's all going well. I want to thank you all so much. Those of you who listened to the show yesterday and wanted to hear what we had to say and stuck around to hear the ad for Fun with Dick and Jane.
Six times in a row. That's the real tragedy. Some people were forced to listen to the
no,
ad.
Don't be trashing our ads. Have you seen Fun with Dick and Jane?
I have not.
I mean, the original was like, what, Jane Fonda, right? Wasn't she in that? I don't know. Hannah and Jane? Wasn't she in the original? I think she was. The original was like, you know, George Segal and Jane Fonda, maybe.
Wasn't someone actually named Dick? They didn't go that quite dead on with the casting?
I think the original name on it was like, you know, Fun with Lloyd and Jane. But I don't that Lloyd Bridges original. I don't know who they had. But the people that had to that had to do that. Now we're just being told. I was all set to kind of wind
we were
down.
Wrapping that up, weren't
we?
We
were wrapping that up really beautifully, and now I've been told we have a little more time, which is good. Which is very, very good. We always want more time to chat with people. For those of you who listened yesterday and heard all the ads, and I don't think it was that terrible because the ads on Free FM are new and they're fresh and they haven't played them a lot, and I hope that one of the things that Free FM does is change those ads all the time, because a lot of times when I'm doing radio at friend shows and stuff, they put on the carts, I guess they're not carts anymore, but they hit the button, the instant replay, I guess that's the tool they use, they hit that button to play the ads and the station IDs during breaks, and the people at the station have work to do then. They have to go out and pee. I guess that's not work, but they have business to do, and they have to get their cups of coffee and get their donuts and do all the things that real policemen do, and so they don't listen. They don't listen to the shows, so they don't know what's being played. So please, Free FM, listen to the things. Make new ads all the time. This is Penn Jillette.
Michael Goudou
in Vintage Nude Studios in Las Vegas, Nevada. Wishing you the best of everything. Drive fast, take chances, have a beautiful life. We'll be talking tomorrow. That's penradio@gmail.com. Thank you all so very, very much. Happy that you all came down. We love you, Lance. We're just joking.